Luke chapter 4, look at verse 18. Jesus is reading from the book of Isaiah, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." We're going to talk about receiving and ministering healing. What I'm really interested in is the ministering, how we minister healing to people. That's what I'm really interested in. But until we get through how to receive it, it would be a challenge to teach that. So we're going to kind of methodically go through a few things. If you'll go over to Acts chapter 10, I want to submit something to you while you're turning there, that what we just read in Luke 18, actually from the book of Isaiah, that was Jesus's main text. The next verse, verse 19, we didn't read it. He said, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So guess what? That day, the acceptable year of the Lord, when he said this is fulfilled in your hearing, that day began then. See, we're not talking about a specific day like it's Wednesday. We're talking about an age. An age began when Jesus said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today is the acceptable year of the Lord. It is acceptable to God that we be healed. Not only that we be healed, but we be healers. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus didn't pray for the sick. Say what? Read the Gospels, the four Gospels. Jesus did not pray for the sick. He healed them. He proclaimed the kingdom. He taught the kingdom, and he healed them. There's a big difference, because there's people standing in prayer lines praying for God to heal them. And we'll get into all of that. See, I'm already on the third part of this thing, because that's what's huge in my heart. We miss it by saying, "I know God's going to heal me." Well, you're not going to get healed with that right there. I know right there that person has all the responsibility on God, and it's in the future. They need to look in the rearview mirror, because God has already healed them. And when they got born again, healing moved in. And you see people in the prayer line, they'll start reading their resume. "Oh, Pastor Josh, he's such a faithful servant of God. He's here every time the doors are open. First one here. Turns on the air, gets it kind of cold sometimes, but that's all right. We'll forgive him for that." And so they're reading all these qualifications. So God, you ought to do this. That will never work. I said never. Because they're asking God to do something he's already done. Amen. Now, I want to submit to you that what Jesus was reading from the book of Isaiah, you're there in Acts 10, wherever Jesus would go, he would take those scriptures out and he would read those scriptures. People would hear the word, faith would come by hearing, and people would get healed. What he didn't do was walk in a place and go, "Hey guys, I'm it. I'm the Son of God. Hallelujah. Healing has arrived for you today." You know, he never did that. He used the word. In fact, he told the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures because you think in them you find eternal life, and they are that which testify of me. He used the word of God to reveal who he was. Wow. You guys are pulling good. And none of that was planned. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 36. The word, say word, which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, notice that we're talking about a specific message, a specific word of God. I'm submitting to you that it's from Isaiah, what we read back in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. Are you with me? That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee. That's where he was when he was in the temple and said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. After the baptism which John preached. Remember, after he was baptized, then he went into the wilderness and spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted. When he comes out of the wilderness, the first thing he does is stop by the synagogue and reads what we just read from Luke chapter 4. And it says, I love Luke's account because he says, and he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, now I just got about four of these messages all entwined. Because it's a great question. Why did the devil try to tempt Jesus? Why? Why did he mess with him? 40 days. Tempted in all points like we are, right? Tempted, I mean, tempted bad. And Jesus overcame every temptation with the Word of God. It is written. It is written. But why? Why is the devil messing with him? Why is he messing with him? What does he care about Jesus? Why does he mess with me? Why does he mess with you? What does he care? Have you ever wondered? Has he got nothing better to do? You know, he's got a little bit of time. Why are you wasting it on me? The reason is because Jesus, after he was baptized, was anointed. They saw the anointing descending in bodily form like as a dove as he came up out of the River Jordan. And then they heard God, the Father, say out loud, this is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased. That means Jesus was full of faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, he goes from that spot. You'd think he'd go start doing his ministry right then. No, he walked to the wilderness and got tested to the extreme of what you could be tested. Why is the devil messing with? Why didn't he mess with him when he was 29? Why now? Why? Right? He's supposed to be age 30. That's the age you become a priest, right? Why now? Why not mess with him when he was 12? Because the devil knows that if he can get Jesus to sin, his heart will condemn him. Now, really, the biggest issue is he would be disqualified to be the Savior of the world. We learn that, but that's hindsight. And the Bible says in one of the books of Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians, says, if the rulers of this age would have known, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know what was going on. But they're so predictable, God used it in his plan. Right? And he would have been disqualified. If he sinned, he'd have been disqualified. No. But that's not what the devil's after. The devil wants his heart to condemn him. Why? Because he has the Spirit of God poured out on him without measure. He has the anointing on him. And I think the anointing's probably more visible in the spirit realm. And this bothers the devil. The devil's trying to shut it down. There is nothing that the devil can do about the anointing that's on your life. That's good news. All he can try to do is get you into condemnation so your faith won't work. 1 John chapter 3 says, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. If your heart is condemning you, you're going to have trouble. Amen. So that's why the devil's messing with him. Man, I'm way off these notes. Glory to God. Look at verse 38. Now, this is why I say I believe this is Jesus' main text. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, say all, who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now I'm going to say something, and this was a massive revelation in my life. Jesus did not operate as God during his earthly ministry. And I'll prove that to you scripturally. I'll prove that to you. And even what we just read, it didn't say for he was acting as God. It said, no, God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. If he's operating as God, where would you go for a greater anointing than God? Who would have to give him an anointing if he's operating as God? But it says Jesus of Nazareth. Why, Why mention his hometown? It's talking about his earthly manhood. See, it's calling him a man. And throughout, if you read throughout the Gospels, you will over and over and over and over find Jesus calling himself the Son of Man. You might read it Son of God, but he says Son of Man. The fact that he's a man is what gave him authority on this planet. We'll get into all of that later. That's gonna bless you. You don't want to miss that. But all of his earthly ministry, he did not act as God. Religion teaches it this way. He did all these miracles to prove that he was the Son of God. That's wrong. That's wrong. And I'll prove it to you. You guys ready? Can I prove it to you? Go over to Philippians chapter 2. And like I say, I'm laying some groundwork here for healing. Healing, all right? And the reason I'm really harping on this is because if you look at Jesus and you think in some way that he's some sort of elite being, then you're going to exclude yourself from those greater works. Well, that was Jesus. Jesus operated his faith because of his fellowship with the Father. He would withdraw himself. He was so confident. He said, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father do. He was in such relationship with him that he would get a video image in his mind what to do. Spit in that guy's eye. He'll get healed. You spit on me, I better be healed. Are you with me? Are you listening? And he'd change it up at times. We'll get into all that. Man, I'm way ahead of myself. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So God is wanting us to think a certain way. Are you watching this? Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That literally means he emptied himself of his divine privileges. When it says did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, one translation says something to be grasped. In other words, he wasn't holding on to his deity to the place where he wouldn't let it go. He voluntarily let it go, and he emptied himself of everything that made him God. And then look what it says. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. There it is. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. All right, I know what you're thinking. That's not enough proof for me. Okay, go over to James chapter 1. In fact, I want you to find two places. James chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 4. Making you work this morning. And hold both places. James chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 4. Are you ready for this? Okay. I can tell when it gets real quiet. There's people, wheels are turning. It's good. That's all right. This is really going to bless you. This is to verify that Jesus did not operate as God, but he operated as a man. James chapter 1, look at verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. One of my favorite verses. There's so many people blaming God for stuff, and this right here says, don't even say that. Now, you're there in Hebrews 4. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus as our high priest, right? Then verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Who was tempted in all points? Jesus. Who can't be tempted? God. There it is. So he can't be operating as God in his earthly ministry, or he couldn't be tempted. Are you with me? So you put those four scriptures, three scriptures, put those together, and again, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So you have to interpret the word with the word. See, it's amazing how much tradition gets into our thinking, and we think a certain way, but this rocked my world when I realized Jesus operated as a man. The healing that he did was by the anointing that he got from God. I'm going to prove it to you. You go over to Isaiah chapter 10. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, and this is when Jesus was 12 years old, and they went to Jerusalem. Remember, he stayed behind. It took him a day to figure out he wasn't among them. And then they went back and found him in the synagogue asking questions, and they were astonished at this young boy's wisdom, 12 years old, right? And it says in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, why did we read that? If you're increasing in wisdom, you don't have all of it. How many of you know God is all wise? There's no more room to increase God's wisdom. He has it all. So if Jesus is increasing in wisdom, he's learning wisdom. He had to learn who he was through the Word of God. Did you know that? And Mary had the responsibility. She's the one that got the orders from the angel Gabriel, Luke chapter 1, right? And she's the one that taught him who he was. He had no unfair advantage over you and I. So, he operated as a man anointed by God. You're there in Isaiah 10. Look at verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, now that his there, that's talking about the devil. If you back up a few verses, in this particular instance, it's calling it Leviathan, okay, which is the serpent, the twisted serpent. That's the devil. You know who that is, right? And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the devil's burden, will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. So we're talking about the anointing. Are you with me? That is how healing is manifested. It's through the anointing, okay? The anointing is the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. And I want you to know something. You are anointed. Jesus was anointed. And I know the Bible says that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. I know it says that. I know that it's in the Bible. Guess what? God's manifested in my flesh. He's manifested in your flesh. Amen. And can I just be blunt? One of the stupidest, we teach our kids, don't say stupid, but it's in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, so it's a Bible word. One of the stupidest things that I've ever heard said is guard the anointing. Now, I get what they're saying. The enemy is going to try to distract you and get your eyes off of him. We're to look unto Jesus, right? And he tries to distract us. But there's nothing the enemy can do about the anointing. His only prospect of shutting it down is to get you distracted and get you into condemnation. See, he can shut it down that way. It's like you've got dynamite and a fuse. Well, he can't do anything about that dynamite. We shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon us. Dunamis, Holy Ghost dynamite. But it's your faith that's that fuse. And that's what Jesus was protecting. That's what you guard. You guard your faith. You guard your heart. That's what Proverbs 4 is talking about. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That's your fuse. He wants to wet your fuse. And if he can't wet the fuse, he wants to steal it from you. See? That's what you guard. You don't have to worry about guarding the anointing. Like, you got to protect God. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I need to go read Psalm 91 to God. You cheer him up a little bit. You know, got to protect God. Are you kidding me? That's how absurd that is. That's why I say it's like that. But it sounds spiritual. And I know what, like I said, what they're talking about. There'll be situations where maybe the sound's acting up. You got an outside venue or something like that. Guard the anointing. That is just ignorant. That's ignorant. Are you with me? It's the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burden. And I'll go ahead and go a little farther, if that's all right with you. If you don't mind, I'm going to go anyway. Go over to John chapter 14. Creflo Dollar. Praise God for Creflo Dollar. I heard him say this. This was a long time ago. And he said that once a person is determined to be a burden to a church or to a pastor, you better look out. You're going to be removed. You're going to catch the backhand of the anointing. And I thought, woo, glory to God. So we don't worry about that stuff. Are you with me? We just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And we've, over the years, we've seen people that get disgruntled, they get offended or whatever. And it's one thing to get offended and leave. That's fine. If you want to leave, you know, and I'm not saying that to anybody here, but hypothetically, you know, in situations, somebody gets mad and they, that's it, I'm out of here, I'm taking off. It's one thing to leave and be offended. I don't recommend it because you're devil's food once that happens. But anyway, it's another thing to toss a grenade over your shoulder as you're leaving. Yeah. And try to blow up the house of God. Try to take people with you. Try to create casualties. Ooh, that's not good. And you know what? You just put yourself at opposition to the anointing of God. We prayed this way for years because there'd be people that... Anybody ever heard of a Jezebel spirit, Absalom spirit? And all churches will have those kinds of things try to rear its head every once in a while. This is what we pray. Either that person gets delivered from what they're yielding to, or they're going to be removed. But either way, that junk can't stay. I expected more cheers than that, but that's all right. Some of you are doing an inventory. I hope he's not talking about me. Relax, I'm not talking about anybody. John chapter 14, look at verse 12. Most assuredly, notice Jesus is speaking, and I love this. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, in the traditional King James, verily, verily, I say to you. Man, Jesus is saying, this is absolute. Don't miss this. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now that's in your Bible. So if we see Jesus healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease, that's what we ought to be doing. Now when it says greater works, I know how easy that is to dismiss in our mind. I mean, how are you going to outdo Jesus? Anybody here walked on their bathwater recently? Anybody out here stopped a tornado with your words? I know people that have. See, it's possible if you believe, right? Who's raised the dead? I know people that have. See, yeah, we got one on the front row. In fact, God, he's even raised dead people. You need to heal him. Well, when it talks about greater works, you need to understand that it's not you outdoing Jesus. First of all, Jesus was one man with 3 years, walking just about everywhere he went, okay? We have thousands and thousands and thousands of us and 2,000 years to do it. So just the quantity of work is a greater work. But I'll give you one more. Jesus earned his anointing. He was tempted in all points without sin. He was born of a virgin, not sin in his blood. He was a sinless man, and it became legal for God to anoint him. You ever wondered, why did he get baptized? It's called the baptism of repentance. What did Jesus have to repent of? Nothing. In fact, that was the symbol. When he was the one dunked, okay, now God sends his anointing to him. Why? There's no sin. There's nothing to repent of. That's my anointed one. He earned his anointing. You and I did not. That's a greater work. We were fully tarnished. That's a greater work. And we're called to do the same thing. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror. Jesus earned his righteousness, so to speak, by keeping the law. We did not. Man, I got help. Isn't that powerful? So when you think of greater works, it's not you outdoing Jesus, but it's, like I said, it's the sheer volume. But the fact that we were full of sin, all of sin and come short of the glory of God, the fact that we were full of sin and yet God lives in us and anoints us, qualifies us, so that we can be healers. Are you ready? Go to 1 John chapter 2. Man, I'm enjoying this. I've been looking forward to this. So we're talking about the anointing, right? That's how the healing happens. So you don't have to guard the anointing. I've heard ministers say it, that in certain situations, they sense the Holy Spirit fly off like a bird. Gone. There was an anointing here, but now it's over. No. You got distracted. And that can shut things down. Because God does work in atmospheres. He works in atmospheres of faith. When people's attention is on Him, that's when you see stuff happen. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 20. It says, but you, say that's me, have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. What an amazing statement that is. And that's in your Bible. Now, does that mean that you go on Jeopardy and you can win every time? Because you're all-knowing. Does that mean that? No. You will know because of the anointing, the teacher on the inside of you, you will know what you need to know when you're supposed to know it. In fact, some translations for the word anointing there, it says unction. You have an unction from the Holy One. Skip down to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from Him, just like Jesus received His from God, guess what? You received the anointing from Him, abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need times like this where we're being taught the Word of God, but ultimately, you're hearing the voice of a man, but it's the Holy Spirit in you bearing witness to the teaching. He's the one teaching you. That's truth. That's truth. That's truth. Are you with me? But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 through 16? He called Him the Spirit of truth. And He will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. Isn't that what He said about the Holy Spirit? Okay. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Personal pronoun. When we talk about the anointing, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead. That's who moved into you when you got born again. That's the anointing. The anointing is a person. I don't have to guard the Holy Spirit. He helps me. I need His help. Yes, God needs us to be His hands and feet, to be His orators, somebody to speak for Him. Are you with me? So, the anointing is a person. That's the Holy Spirit. I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4, and it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Notice it didn't say, and He prayed for the sick. He healed them. Did you see that? His message was what we read in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. Not because I'm the Son of God, but because He's anointed me. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 24, then His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and He healed them. Notice He didn't pray for them. He healed them. And the implication is He healed them all. And you'll see that phrasing throughout the Gospels. He healed them all. Now, there's three words in the Greek that we translate healing. The first word is the word therapeo. Therapeo, which means to relieve of disease and to cure. We get our word therapy from that. which indicates that there is a corresponding action that's required. See, and I would say it's an estimate, but I believe it's pretty accurate, that 90% of all the healings that you see Jesus doing was therapeo. He would have them do something. Think of the lepers. What did he do? He said, go show yourself to the priest. And then it says, and they were healed as they went. See? As they went, they were healed. Okay? That means there's therapy to it. He'd tell them, stretch forth your hand, straighten up. He'd have them do something. Go wash your face in the pool of Siloam. He'd have them do something. That's therapeo. If you just have somebody come up in the healing line and you just minister healing to them, but you don't get them to act on their faith, because faith is required. You need to get them acting on it. That will get them healed. Because faith is the variable. The will of God is not the variable. The power of God is not the variable. What is the variable? It's that individual's faith. Amen. Go over to Acts 3. This also lets you know that there's a science and a method to it. See, Jesus didn't just do random things just to shake them up. Again, he saw the Lord say, do it like this. And I've heard of some incredible things. Who's ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Punched a lady in the belly. Drop kicks a baby. You better be close to God. You're going to be acting like that. Keith Moore told a story that there was a woman, an elderly woman, that was deaf in one ear, and he heard God on the inside say, cuff her in the side of the head. He said, well, you don't have long to think about it. And he said, so I just reached around, whop, and she heard. You better know the voice of Jesus. You're going to go around hitting people. You wind up in court. Amen. But he may have us do some unusual things. Who knows why? You know, when he punched that lady in the stomach, a tumor fell off of this woman. She had a tumor. Looked like she was pregnant. And it fell out of her dress on the platform. Gross. Drop kicked the baby, was dead, healed. Acts chapter 3, look at verse 6. Pastor Bill was talking about this last week. Then Peter said, now this is the guy laying at the gate beautiful. He's been crippled his entire life. He's never walked. Has never, ever walked. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now that word took means he literally seized him. He grabs him, boom, grabs his hand. The idea is that he yanked him up before the guy's doubt could get in the way. He just yanked him to his feet. And then it says his feet and ankle bones received strength. The actual Greek says his ankle bones and steps. The idea is that at first he could not walk, but with every step, his feet and ankle bones got stronger and stronger. Here's a guy who's never walked, ever. I mean, we watch babies as they're growing up, learning to walk. And we call mom when it's like they've taken their first step. Oh my gosh, I hope we got it on video. They have to learn how to walk. This guy was yanked to his feet, and as he began to walk, later it says he was running, jumping, and praising God. Well, that's therapy. See, that was not an instant healing in the sense that the moment he was touched, everything was right. He was acting on it. As he walked, his legs got stronger. The second word is the word iomei, and it means to cure. To cure. It's a verb. We get our word doctor from this word. And when we say doctor, I'm using it as a verb, not the doctor that you go see, the noun, but the verb. Our little Emma, she scraped her arm the other day. So what did we do? We doctored that. We ministered to that. We doctored that. That's what iomei is. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, where it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing. That's the word iomei. He doctored people. He doctored people. And then in closing, the last word is the word sozo. Sozo. And sozo, I believe, is the highest healing that there is, because it's wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Think of those lepers that I just told you about. Okay? They were healed as they went. You know, leprosy was a cruel disease. I mean, they're losing fingers and ears and body parts are falling off, literally rotting off of them. Well, you can be healed of leprosy and still have all those scars. One of them came back and thanked and gave glory to God, and he was made whole. That means all the effects of the leprosy were gone. See, that's different than just healing. Healing is to stop something in its tracks, but to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body, that's awesome. And Jesus came that we would be made whole. He said to the woman with the issue of blood, remember that? He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Sozo. Your faith has healed you. Go and be whole, healed of your affliction. And it was her faith. Jesus didn't stop and pray for her. He didn't even know she was there. It wasn't until she made a withdrawal on that virtue from him. He's walking. It says there's a tumult around him. We'll probably read this in the coming weeks. But there's a tumult around him. That means there's a lot of people. He's walking through there, and I imagine his disciples were probably acting like the Secret Service, just trying to keep people off of him, right? And trying to shield him a little bit. But this woman who had been afflicted for 12 years, bleeding for 12 years, probably anemic, because she's bleeding over and over and over. She's spent all that she had and didn't get any better, but got worse. She heard that Jesus was coming, and it says that she said, and if you read it in the Amplified, she kept on saying, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. If I can touch the hem of... So she sneaks in behind. She's trying to get in there stealth. She's not even supposed to be in public in her condition. She could be stoned according to Jewish law. And so what does she do? She's on her hands and knees. She's not being polite either. If I can just touch him. If I can... She made a withdrawal on that virtue. Her faith made her whole, complete, spirit, soul, and body in that moment, that fast, that awesome. So, we just got it started, but I'm really excited about how to minister healing to people, because I want you to change the way you think. We're not asking God to do something he's already done. We're not going to beg God. We're not going to list somebody's qualifications. We are going to doctor them. We are going to bring anointing and healing ministry to whatever ailment is there. And they will be healed. Long as they're not steeped in unbelief. I've ministered healing to people before, and their thing was, well, if it's the Lord's will, that's not a good day for them. See, it is his will. I am willing. Behold. Isn't that what he said? Glory to God. Well, I'm excited about healing. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. And I'm expecting that every time that we minister healing to somebody, they get healed. Is that possible? Absolutely. Happened in Jesus' ministry. No reason why it shouldn't happen in yours. Because he said, greater works shall you do. You're going to do the same things and greater in volume. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that? Amen. Thank you, Lord.